Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, your Bible should open up to that, just like it opened up to Matthew many years ago and Philippians years ago. Amen. It should open up to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12, and then jump down to verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 6, 10, 11, 12. Let's go ahead and stand as we read these together. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 6, 10, 11, 12. And then we'll skip down to verse number 15. Amen. All right. Everybody should be there. All right. Let's go ahead and start reading together. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And come down to verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, speak to us tonight as we look more at being more effective at taking the Great Commission, the command personally, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being ready to witness, Lord, to those around us, and not just witness, but in teaching them to go a little further, Lord, into discipleship. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. All right. To my calculations, we left off on page 32, if I am not mistaken. Is that correct? Page 32. Is that correct? Everybody's got 32 filled in? You should have 32 filled in up until page 35. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. That's where we left off. All right. 32 is where we left off at. And a lot of this we're not going to talk about, but we are going to talk about some of it tonight. And you should have your blanks filled out up to Roman numeral 2 on 35. And so let me get you caught up just in case you don't. Go back to page 31. And you'll find lesson 3, establishing new Christians. This is to assume that the person has gotten saved. Okay, they have gotten saved now. Now we want to do some things. Early instruction is Roman numeral 1. A is assurance of salvation on 32. 1 is God promises to save all who call on him for salvation. 2 is eternal life is forever. 3, being born again makes you part of God's family. Then B, baptism. Everybody got those? Okay. And then 1, baptism is an identification. We should have all that in. Baptism. Then 2 is for every Christian. And then 3, baptism should be by immersion. Now again, this is stuff that we know, but we're trying to take that to someone else. Number 4, baptism should take place soon after salvation. What happens if they wait longer? The longer you wait, the harder it is. Amen. C, Bible reading and prayer. Bible reading and prayer. D, church attendance. So those are the things that come in those that next section that we're going to talk about here very, very quickly and very briefly. And going back to establishing new Christians, amen. Let's see, where are we at here? Okay. All right. Assurance of salvation was your A. Amen. Excuse me, after early instruction. By the way, once a person gets saved, you may not have a lot of time to spend with them. But the time that you do spend with them, you want to try to give them as much information as you can without overloading them. How will you know if you're overloading them?
This glazed look in their eye,
they get that kind of deer in the headlights look, kind of like...
Whoa.
Or if you see them gasping for air, you know, it's best to just say, okay, give them assurance of salvation. When is it good to go on with baptism? Jeremiah?
Once they know they're saved.
Once they know they're saved, yes, but what kind of indication can we get from them? that it's good to go on with baptism, because you can't go with baptism all the time.
Yes, ma'am. What do I do next?
They say, what do I do next? Or if they say, hey, what happens to me now? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is make sure you take them to 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 9 and chapter 2. Let's go over there very, very quickly. No one did this for me when I got saved. And when I went home and drank all that beer, guess what I thought I was?
Lost.
Because no one gave me assurance of my salvation. It's very, very good and it's very necessary to take them to 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 9. Who's there can read that for me? 1 John 1 9. Go ahead, Katie.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. How much unrighteousness?
All.
All. What do we have to do? Confess. That word confess means to acknowledge. Say the same thing about their sin that God says. And so if you have some young convert, you say, now, Frank, I want to tell you something now. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Now, little Frank says, yes, I have. Say, Frank, what does that make you? Let Frank say saved. Don't pronounce Frank saved. What happens if we pronounce Frank saved?
Probably not.
Probably not. Amen. Maybe not. Amen. What happens if we pronounce Frank saved? Jeremiah?
Trust.
He trusts me. What do we want him to trust?
Christ.
The Word of God. You ask him, hey, what did you just do, Frank? Well, I called on the Lord. Well, Frank, what does Romans 10:13 say? For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. So what did God tell you you are if you did this from a sincere heart and truly repentant heart? Frank said, well, I got saved. Then you let him read the verse. Amen. As soon as Frank confirms to you that he understands that he's saved, take him and ask him this question. Now, Frank, are you still a sinner? And if he says no, correct him on the spot. Say, Frank, you're still a sinner. Now, I just want you to understand that. You're always going to be a sinner, but you're a sinner saved by what?
Grace.
Grace. And then you take him over here to 1 John. Say, now, Frank, as soon as you leave me, you're probably going to run and do something that you ought not do down the line. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. I want you to understand something, that God has given a way to forgive you of your sins. Take him to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, what is he? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We said if we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I would take him as far as to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. I would say, now Frank, we're not telling you to go sin. But we're saying that when you sin, not if you sin, but when you sin, the Bible says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin. Now you say, now Frank, you try to stay away from sin as much as you can. You know, but if you do sin, say this, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let him know the one that he just trusted to save him is the same one that's his advocate. What's an advocate's job? What does an advocate do? He represents you. So he goes to God the Father and says, my blood that was shed for Frank. And so I'm pleading the case for Frank. You let him know that, hey, he may sin, but he has someone he can go to, Jesus Christ. He can confess his sins. God is faithful and just to forgive him of his sins and cleanse them all in righteousness. Notice verse 2. And he is the propitiation or the satisfaction or the payment for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of how many people? The whole world. So let Frank know, or let Barbara know, or Jane or Bill or whoever it may be, that hey, if you sin, when you sin, this is what you need to do. Nobody told me that, so I tried to get saved all over again. How many of y'all tried to get saved over again after you got saved the first time? Amen. I know we ain't the only three. Come on, the rest of y'all. I know some more of y'all went through that. Amen. I was not grounded. I was not rooted. Nobody told me about 1 John. I thought, hey, I must have done something wrong because I don't, here's the word, feel as good as I did a few minutes ago. What's the one thing that you want to try to get the convert away from?
Feelings.
His feelings. Get him or her grounded in the facts of God's word. Get them away from their feelings. Say, now, Frank, you feel good now. But Frank, tomorrow you may not feel good. I don't want you to trust on your feelings, Frank. I want you to trust on the Word of God. What does Romans 10:13 say, Frank? And then if he see reason, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Guess what, Frank? That's going to say the same thing tomorrow. And guess what? It's going to say the same thing next week. It's going to say the same thing the week after that. Now, Frank, you need to trust God's Word. Don't trust how you feel, because you feel good one day and you feel bad the next day. Amen? And so that is the assurance of salvation that I would encourage you to give Frank, or you can give him John 3:16 or whatever you want to give him. Amen? But you want to give him the assurance of his salvation the moment he gets saved, because Satan is going to try to get him to doubt that. God promises to save all who call on him for salvation. Is there anyone that God can't save?
No.
No. There's no one that God can't save. Now, if they don't call, he won't save them. But there's no one he can't save. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses how much sin?
All.
So what if Frank said, well, I murdered somebody? What if I committed the unpardonable sin?
Which is what?
And they can't tell you what it is. Amen. And just tell Frank, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin. And that's that catch word, all. Is a murder, is that considered all? That's all. And so you let Frank know that, hey, God is going to cleanse you of that sin if you call on him. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So when you look at this, that's one thing. Last week we looked at Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. And we looked at 1 Peter 1:5 as well. We're kept by the power of God. Next point there is eternal life is forever. You want to make sure you direct the new Christian and let him know that according to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life. It's forever. How long is forever?
Forever.
It does forever ever end?
No.
Eternal. Amen. And so, now, by the way, now what if they say, well, Aunt Martha said she was saved and she died last week. What happened to her? Now, what do we have to do? But now how do we make that make sense to Frank? Because Aunt Martha was a Christian and she died and she's supposed to have eternal life. What happened?
Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Got to explain the material and the spiritual. The material is, there is a material body. This is going to die. Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so this is going to die. This is going to get old. Or if it doesn't die, it's going to what?
Rot.
Rot. Looking for something more positive. Where is our confidence in rapture? Amen. If we don't die, the rapture is going to catch us. Amen. This is a rot. And so we may have to explain them the difference between the material and the spiritual. Man has a soul, and his soul will never die, and he will get his spiritual body. So you may have to explain that to him. Amen. Right. Amen. And so make sure they know that it is forever. Amen. Notice John 10:28-29. To get that one down there. And I give unto them eternal life. They should never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. And Ephesians 1:13 says, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And so the next point we come up to then, again, this is the young Christian. You may not be able to give them all this, but you need to have this stored up just in case. Amen. And when you go to revisit them on the second visit, you could probably give them more of this, or the third visit, or the fourth visit, because this is now, go ye therefore, teach all nations, try to get them baptized, but then teaching them to observe all things. The quicker we can get them grounded and rooted, the quicker it's going to be in their best behalf. Because who's going to come looking for them pretty soon afterwards? Satan. And how's he going to come in the guise of?
Jehovah's Witnesses,
Mormons, our charismatic brethren, and many, many others out there that are going to try and snatch them up and say, oh, I heard you got saved. Why don't you come to my church and hear my Aunt Martha preach a sermon? She preaches real good. And they'll say, a church? Wow, Aunt Martha, let's go. And so there you go. And we lay hands on people and we speak in tongues. We do that at your church, Brother Wilkerson? Probably not. You're missing out, man. I mean, we have more tongues than a whole herd of people. And then, yeah, you need the whole gospel. And now we got problems. So the quicker we can get some things in them, the better. And so being born again makes you part of God's family. Let them know that that's special. By the way, never drum down salvation. Well, you're saved now. Let them know you're in God's family. You're a child of God. You're a child. Drum it up. Let them know this is good. This is the best thing that ever happened to you, man. You will never die. You know, sometimes people can say, well, you're saved now. The devil don't like you now. Yeah, but we know that, but let him feel good about it at least that I'm saved. Amen? And nobody had to make me feel good about it. I felt good right off the bat. I mean, I went around jumping, shouting, hallelujah, praise God. Didn't know any kind of religious lingo, but I knew one thing. I'm saved. Are you? And that was one thing that I said, I'm saved. They said, well, do you speak in tongues? No, but I'm saved. I got a tongue, but I don't know nothing about that. Amen. I got one. Anybody lay hands on you? No, but if you lay hands on me, I'm sure I'll lay one on you too. I was a young baby Christian. I didn't know a whole lot. I mean, I didn't know all of this laying on hands and speaking in tongues. I had saw some stuff in churches, and I thought, that's crazy. I don't know parts of that. And so let them know when they get saved, they've been born into the family of God. That's something special. God puts their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Amen.
That's special. Amen. I don't know about you, but normally if they get saved here, I'll take my pen out and I'll write in their Bible the day they got saved, or I'll have my wife do it because my handwriting is not so good, or I'll let somebody write in that has good handwriting. One of the things that you want to do that I have learned the hard way, ask them how their name is spelled. Not every person's that name is Bob is spelt the same way. Not every Susan is spelt the same way. Not every Tanya is spelt the same way. And I learned that the hard way. If you're going to write in their Bible, make sure you spell it right. You got their Bible, got this misspelling. What does that spell? Well, it's supposed to be my name, but the preacher couldn't spell. I asked him, saying, now how's that spelled, you know? Like Tony, how's that spelled? T-O-N-Y. No, it's with an I. Well, you spelled it now, amen. So ask them, how do you spell those names, amen? But it's good to put their name in their Bible. Get them a new Bible if you have one. We have Bibles here, or whatever you have. The guy that, when I got saved, Brother Rod Branch, he was gracious enough to give me his Gideon New Testament Bible. I have it to this day. He gave it to me back in 1991. I still have it. Now, it's duct taped, but I still have it. I keep it in my car when I go soul winning. Guess what Bible I use? That's the Bible I use. It's got the Psalms, it's got the Proverbs in it, and I love that Bible. And so you want to make sure that you write down their name and put their names in the Bible and make sure that they understand that. Amen. Notice John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You guys have that verse there? Amen. And 1 John 1:2-1, we just read that one as well. So let them know they're in God's family. Next thing you want to let them know, if you get the chance, about baptism. Now again, sometimes in the anemic world that we're in, baptism scares some people. It scares some people. They go, well, I got to do something else. No, it's not about doing something else. It's about doing something in conjunction with what you already did. And you let them know, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. This is a step that God wants you to take. Amen. And if you have to, take them to the Bible and say, look at Matthew 28. Amen. Matter of fact, let's go over there real quick. Baptism. And in your Bibles there, you can take them to Matthew 28. Most of us should be able to quote this. By the way, you can quote it as you're turning over there to let them know about that. What's one of the first things that people are going to say when you tell them they need to be baptized? There you go. I've been baptized already. And then what do you tell them?
And they that gladly receive his word and were baptized.
Were you saved before?
Didn't
you just tell me you got saved here? So as a baby, were you saved then? Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you just receive Christ now? So the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. What does hinder me to be baptized? He told the eunuch. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So take them back and say, when did you get saved? Baptism always follows afterwards, because they will tell you that. Matthew 28, notice what it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then the first thing Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is identification. So baptism is what? Identification. You got the blank there. Amen. The verses that Pastor White always reads is Romans 6, chapter Romans 6, 3, and we read it all the way down to 11. And so when they get saved, the one of the first things you want to do is encourage them about baptism. Amen. It's identification. It's an outward showing of an inward work of grace that God has done in their lives. And so you want to make sure you encourage them on that. Let them know it's for every Christian. Let them know it should be by immersion. By the way, does sprinkling count? No. How do people bury people? Under the ground. And what does baptism represent? A death, a burial, and a resurrection. And so you let them know that it's got to be by immersion, because that's what it pictures. And baptism should take place soon after salvation. If they wait on their baptism, oftentimes it's going to be rough on them. Okay? Pastor White, go out into the foyer real quick. Get me one of those kitty tracks there, John 3:16 tracks real quick. And one of the other ones that we have one as well, the first steps. There was one out there. And so baptism should take place soon after salvation. It should be by immersion. It is for every Christian. Everybody that's born again should be baptized. Now, if the person does not want to be baptized, do we have a problem? What could that indicate?
Salvation.
Could be a problem with salvation. Now, they could be aquaphobic. There could be some things that they don't want to get in front of people publicly, and some people have had that problem. They don't want to get in front of people publicly because of some disfigurement or something like that. Some people are aquaphobics. Thank you. Appreciate that. And so, you know, you've got to work with them on that. It's not always a problem with their salvation. It may be. But then we, as the one that led them to Christ, have to do more investigation and digging and show them the importance of baptism, what it represents and why it's important. Now, one of the things that I want to show you here is on the back of here. Let's see, where are we at here? Oh, okay, it's not on this one. Do we have one of the John 3:16 ones out there, Pastor White, as well? Okay, yeah, here we go. Bring me one of those as well. On the back of here, notice what it says. Learn what God wants me to do. It says, read my Bible, go to Sunday school and church, take God, talk to God in prayer, forgive and love others. Okay, now it doesn't talk about baptism on this one, but it lists the four things that are on your sheet here. Notice A is eternal assurance of salvation. B is your baptism. And then notice what your C is, your Bible reading and prayer there at the bottom. And then D is church attendance. Those are four things that you want to really encourage them right off the bat. Get baptized, read your Bible, pray, get in church. Why do we want to encourage them on those four things very quickly? Reading their Bible, praying, getting in church, and getting baptized. Why those four things very quickly?
So they can continue growing.
Continue to grow in their relationship. Get plugged into the church. Be around some other Christians. Learn the teachings of the Word of God. Get them plugged in right away. Get them talking to God. Amen. Get them in the Bible very quickly. On the back of that, Pastor White, does it talk about those four things? Oh, but we don't have the John 3:16 one out there. We might have run out of those. Amen. But that those are on the children's tracks, and I think it's on some of the others as well. Read your Bible, go to Sunday school, talk to God in prayer, and get baptized. It's normally on all of our tracks. That's what they should do. And those are the four key points that you have here with your A, your B, your C, and your D. Those are things you want to encourage a new Christian in right away. Now, you've got to play it by ear. You can't always give them all four right off the bat. Sometimes you got to play it a little slow and just give them the assurance of their salvation and say, hey, Frank, I'd love to see you at church tomorrow. Why don't you come and make a public profession of your faith in Christ? I'll come and pick you up. We've got a bus that will come by and pick you up. But you want to try to get them in church as quickly as possible so they can be around other people that are just like them. Hebrews 10:25 talks about it. It should take place right after salvation, Acts 16:31 and 33. The Ethiopian eunuch is right there talking about its identification. And so those are some things you want to do. We're going to do that. We'll stop there. We'll pick this up again next week on page 35. But those four things are things that you really want to try to get the young Christian involved in very, very quickly when it comes to their salvation. It's giving them assurance. letting them know there is a thing that they can do when they fall, when they sin. They should be baptized. They should get in church. They should pray. They should begin reading their Bible right away. And any kind of encouragement you can give them would help them out. What I will always do is give them my phone number and ask them for their phone number. Now, they may not respond. They may not pan out. That's not our job. That's not our decision. What's our job and our decision is to give them every opportunity to respond. And if they don't respond, that's not our fault. We continue to go back until they tell us to hit the road. Amen. And guess what we do? There's another fish in the sea. Amen. Jesus didn't hold us responsible for what people do afterwards. Amen. And so don't hesitate to give the gospel out and to try to follow up on those four basic things if God gives us the opportunity. Because that's what he wants us to do. Amen. Pastor White, you've got those tracks there. Let me see those real quick. And then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor White for our announcements. By the way, be praying for our Wednesday night services as well. We'll see how we're going to work this one. Okay, I think it's on this one as well. Yes, this one says you should pray, you should read your Bible, you should witness, and you should be baptized. So it's on the back of this one as well. Just about on all of our tracks, it's going to tell you those basic things. And so some very, very good tools for you and I to use when we're witnessing. But say, underline it. Say, look, this is what I want you to do. Make sure you pray tonight. Make sure you start reading your Bible. And by the way, what's a good book to start them off in? First John. First John. It's short. It talks about the forgiveness we just talked about. It talks about God's love. And it's very easy to read. Very easy to read. The Gospel of John is great as well, but 1 John is less challenging as the Gospel of John. I would encourage them on 1 John first, and then step them up to a harder book or a longer book. But if you get them on a longer book first, what are they probably going to do halfway through it? They're going to quit because they're going to get tired. They're going to say, man, it's a long book. Folks are anemic now. Everything is computerized. And so most folks don't read their Bibles nowadays anyway. Amen. So we'll stop there. But the one thing I want to get across to you is making sure to give them assurance. Give them assurance. Give them assurance. Give them assurance. They're going to need it. Amen. And you needed it when you first got saved. Amen. I would have got someone had it given me assurance. Amen. Pastor White, come on up and give us our closing announcements. And we will be dismissed. By the way, there is patch practice for the children, I know, in just a few minutes.
All right, just briefly, I'm just remind you of this Saturday, we are planning going out to saturate our community with tracts regarding our Easter service for Easter Sunday. So if you could come out and be a part of that, we'd greatly appreciate it. But if you can help us out, if you would, we have some tracts that need to be stuffed in the